It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for. In Michigan who are not happy, and they are asking for a stop the count because there are so many different things happening, and I'm going to do my very best to bring it to you. Perhaps you were like me, actually took a rest yesterday afternoon since the election night was such a short sleep. But when I woke up, I turned the television on and it was like a gut punch to see the numbers, Joe Biden at 264 and President Trump at 214. But of course, that's because what's happening is, now this is my take on this. I think it's accurate. I don't know if we can stop it. But I can see this is just playing out as a designed head fake that's carefully crafted. It's been going on for months. We know that the left started pushing the fact that voting was not safe. Oh, it's dangerous. You can't keep those election polling places clean. And so, we need to, for your safety and your good, you need to vote early. You need to just send your ballots in. In fact, in Nevada, they just sent ballots to every single person on their voter roll, whether they were dead or hadn't voted in years. It didn't matter. We had those kinds of things happening. And just everyone vote. And we had Facebook and Twitter and all the social media accounts, vote, vote, vote. And everywhere you looked, you had commercials saying vote, vote, vote. But of course, the people that were receiving those votes in various states were not careful about those votes. And we don't know. J. Christian Adams, good friend, hosts the show often, went to various counties, especially in Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania, and showed that so many of the voters that were registered had registered themselves to businesses like Alcoa Aluminum, or some of these buildings empty, or current buildings that were occupied by businesses. Of course, no one lived there. There is so much fraud in the registration and in the voter rolls. And so, but this is by design and the idea, and they told us this. They said that on election night, they expected a red mirage. And that meant that they expected that President Trump would win. He'd win in all these states. But then shortly thereafter, all of these ballots that they had, asked for, whether they're legitimate or not, would start to pour in and they would negate the actual vote of people, real people in the voting booths coming, showing their ID on election day. And so it's playing out very nicely for them. But I want to tell you a ton of things today that we're just going to have to stay steadfast. That's all I can say. You can't. I have learned something in my life. I've learned this lesson very well, and that is to not give up easily and not completely be set aside by difficulties. And that applies to your personal life. It applies to your country, to your obligations. Be steadfast, keeping the long view. And I think that's what we have to do with this race. So, Joe Biden has 264, according to, now look, here's the thing. Fox had reported, given him Arizona long before they should have ever given Biden Arizona. And in fact, ABC withdrew Arizona from Biden's column yesterday, but not Fox, because their decision desk, of course, is run by a Hillary Clinton supporter. We know now that he gave thousands of dollars to Hillary Clinton. You can see when he is interviewed that he has this like the cat that ate the canary smile when they're reporting. In fact, it was interesting because Martha McCallum and Brett Baer went after him last night on why he called Arizona as soon as he did. I wish I'd saved that clip, but I didn't. But he's very pleased with himself that he's not removing Arizona from that list. And Joe Biden may claim victory today, because if Nevada comes through and finishes their count, and it's possible, although they might not do it, they don't have to for like a couple of days from now, then I think the further mirage is they want Joe Biden to be able to declare victory and make President Trump look as though he lost, when he has exactly, in fact, not lost the race. And I want to talk to you about that. So, Matt, speaking back of Detroit, though, let me go back to that, back to Michigan, because those people were shouting, stop the count, and there's a reason for that. Matt Finn was on last night with Tucker Carlson, and he was in the counting place in Detroit, and this is what he found. Clip two.
Say there are some pretty tense moments inside of this room. Basically, some poll workers or some of the voting challengers told us that there was not an equal number of Democrats and Republicans in this room throughout the entire process. It led to some shoving matches or some fighting matches, and eventually police had to step in and escort people out of the absentee ballot counting room. I took these people's claims to the Secretary of State here in Michigan. A spokesperson tells us in part, quote, these are poll challengers who have a legal avenue to address any legitimate concerns regarding any rules they claim were not following. Now, in the midst of all that chaos, there were some windows back here that allowed for observation that were covered up with paper and posters. That led to even more confusion and outrage as protesters pounded on these windows, demanding the ability to see inside. I talked to Detroit City Attorney a short while ago. He tells us he ordered some of the windows to be covered because some of the poll workers nearest the windows were concerned that people were filming them or information on the ballots. And right now, Detroit, Tucker, tells us that it has about 1,500 absentee ballots or less to be counted, and then all of Detroit's absentee ballots will be counted.
Yeah, so they put, you could see it in a video, they're putting paper up, cardboard, up on the window so no one can watch them count the ballots. Nothing to see here. And they were hearing all kinds of things. We heard that in Michigan alone, I think Wisconsin as well, that suddenly, like at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, thousands of ballots showed up. And in one report, 140,000 ballots just came in. And guess what? 100% of them were for Joe Biden. Oh, none whatsoever for Donald Trump. Not a single one, not even one in 140,000. They were all votes for Joe Biden. And so people are really concerned about the integrity of the election. I want to stay with Michigan for a second. Here's the headline from Daily Caller this morning. Michigan goes back to blue, breaks for Joe Biden. With 100% of the votes counted, Michigan was added to the former vice president's win. Now, he's not winning by very much, especially if there's a problem with that 140,000 ballots that just happened to all be for Joe Biden. If there's a problem with those ballots, I'm not sure how we're going to know. But the people at a TCF Center in Detroit, that's where they were shouting, stop the count, because they are not allowing Republican poll watchers. And in some cases, and I think it might be in Detroit, they're making poll watchers stay back at least by six, the ones that are in these various precincts, making them stand back 6 feet. They can't. And in some reports, they're making people wear, you know, use binoculars. That's the only way they can get anywhere near the votes. And in some precincts, we have reports of people not allowed, Republican poll watchers not even allowed, have the door, been kicked out, having the door shut in their face. We have a problem. We have a serious problem. And so James O'Keefe actually interviewed a mailman who's come forward to talk about what he has seen. I know, actually, Adam, let's play a little bit of that. That's clip three, I believe. And then I'm going to interrupt it and tell people what he's actually saying. Well, I'll tell you quickly. He said, we were told to collect any ballots that we find in mailboxes, collection boxes for outgoing mail. At the end of the day, we are supposed to separate them from the standard letter mail so that they can hand stamp them with yesterday's date and put them through the express mail system to get wherever they need to go. This is what the whistleblower says. And for clarification, today is the 4th of November. So they wanted, they've asked these mail carriers, according to this whistleblower, take these, hold these letters aside, these ballots aside, and they're going to hand stamp them on a different date to make them look like they came in on the very day. So James O'Keefe says, that seems wrong. And the whistleblower says, yeah, that's why I'm coming forward. This is very shady. In addition to, as far as I'm aware, we're not supposed to be counting ballots that are postmarked after the 3rd of November here in the state of Michigan. So that's why President Trump and his team are filing a lawsuit over Michigan, and we'll find out what happens. And by the way, those of you in Michigan, people are asking for your help. There's going to be, now this one's Phoenix, let's see. Yes, okay, so today, actually in, this is Thursday, yes, 1 Washington Boulevard at the TCF Center in Detroit, there's going to be a rally. And the rally is sponsored by FreedomWorks. So if you're anywhere near Detroit or you can get there, it's 9 a.m. I think that's Central Standard Time. And so it's at the TCF Center, and you can find them. I'm sure you can. You can just identify them because they'll be the ones protesting against what's going on inside. And we need people to go to various places. Actually, I should, while I'm on that, if you're anywhere near Phoenix or if you know people that are in Phoenix, there will be a rally also this morning at 9 a.m. That's local time in Phoenix, at Phoenix City Hall. And so then in Philadelphia, because that's the other area of contention, which we'll get into in a second, there is a rally at 9 a.m. That's Eastern Standard Time at the Philadelphia Convention Center. So there are ways. And there's also a Protect the Vote rally in Phoenix on Friday at 10 o'clock. That's local time there. And that's at the Maricopa County Tabulation and Election Center. Now, this is a lot to assimilate. I know. It's confusing. Trust me. It's difficult for me to keep all of this straight on your behalf, but I'm trying. I will repeat those times and dates, but I have a lot more information to share with you. So Michigan is one of those states where the president is planning on suing. Also, Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin is very, very close. It's under, it's 1% or less, and so the president is asking for a recount. In the state of Wisconsin, that's another place. It's a margin of 20,000 votes. That's just about a percentage point. There's also, you know, they were part of those. Wisconsin was one of those two states where suddenly thousands of votes showed up for Joe Biden at 6 o'clock in the morning yesterday morning. And so the Trump team is demanding a recount there. So that's Wisconsin as best as I can tell you right now. I want to go to... it's hard to decide what to go to. I'll tell you what, let's talk to Tim Murtaugh, who is with the Trump campaign. He was on last night with Brett and Martha, and it was a really interesting exchange. It's clip 12. Let's listen.
I think Arizona is clearly the most important. And I think what you guys are going to see tonight, we expect some more votes to be dumped in Arizona a little bit later tonight and then again after midnight. And you're going to see the tightening of that race because we know what these votes are. These are what are called late early votes or Election Day drop-off votes. These are Election Day voters that the president was getting from Maricopa County and elsewhere at the rate of 62%. So in order for the president to close the gap, and he only trails by 93,000 votes, he only has to get 57%. So that's less than what he was already getting. And there are 605,000 outstanding ballots right now. So as this narrows, there is going to be great pressure on you guys, to be honest with you, Fox News, to rescind your call. It was a premature call. You know, we were livid about the fact that you and then the AP made that call. There are 7 organizations that call states on election night from time to time. 7. 5 of those 7 did not make that call.
And okay, you guys Sam, we got it.
You don't want to be in a position. This
Thank
is going
you.
To lead Joe
Thank
Biden to falsely declare himself the president-elect at some point.
Understood.
And I don't think you
we're
want
going
that
to have
around your neck.
Arnon Mishkin back here, and we're going to talk about this. We did in the early morning hours. We went through all of the different stats, and we're going to go through them again. Appreciate it. And
well,
we're going
soon to... we won't be talking about stats. This is actual math, and you'll see.
No, I understand.
And if that's the case, Tim, we'll be the first ones to point that out. You know, it's all about counting the votes, and our decision team looks at the remaining vote that you look at, and they get different percentages in terms of where those votes are likely to come from. But if there's any need to change it and the numbers reflect something different, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Right.
Yeah, so the decision desk at Fox, don't worry. Don't worry. They'll fix it. I know that Martha and Brett are in a terrible dilemma. That's my take on it. I don't know how much they feel that dilemma, but their decision desk is not an honest broker. All right, so that doesn't mean that President Trump can pull this out, but we're going to talk about Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch joins us next.
This year has been a pandemic year. Children are hurting all over the world. People are afraid. Families are scared. People have lost their jobs. They don't know where to go, what to do. They don't know what hope they have for the future. Well, I want every child to know that God loves them, that God has not forgotten them, and that He cares for them very much. And when you pack a shoebox and send it to Operation Christmas Child, it gives us an opportunity to give that box to a child and do it in Jesus' name. Can you just imagine the hope and the thrill and the joy of when a kid opens up a lid like this and all these toys are in it? It's an incredible gift. And so I just want to say thank you. We need your help this year more than we've ever needed it because of the pandemic. It's just going to create a lot more opportunity. Thank you and God bless you. And remember, pray for the children of the world.
National Collection Week is November 16th through 23rd. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring. But one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Feeling stuck? At Liberty University, we know you've waited long enough to move forward. So we're making sure the resilient career you want is closer than you think. Choose from more than 450 degrees, 100% online, for one of the lowest tuition rates in the nation. We've kept it the same for 5 years and counting, and we'll give you college credit for your life experience so you can save time and money. Stop feeling stuck and start moving toward the future you want with a school you can trust. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
Something just doesn't make any sense about the national vote totals in the presidential election. Big picture, Tuesday night was a great night for Republicans. Democrats were counting on taking out Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham. Both men won their races by huge margins. A number of Republicans upset Democrat incumbents in congressional races. John James, the next Republican senator from Michigan, a black conservative. Republicans maintained control of the Senate, gained ground in the House. Those numbers should have propelled President Trump to victory. Clearly, there is something very strange going on with the vote totals, and it smells like fraud. The next few days are going to be very difficult for our country, but we must not be faint of heart. We must stand up and be counted. We must defend our president. Let not your heart be troubled, America. Be sure to download my free podcast, listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, streaming online at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Well, we filed one in Michigan today because we need to have meaningful access. According to state law, we're allowed to observe when ballots are being opened and counted, and they were preventing us from doing that. So we want that. We also are joining the case in Pennsylvania to have the Supreme Court address what Pennsylvania did. They actually effectively moved Election Day. They moved it back 3 days and allowed the receipt of ballots beyond what the state legislature had set. We're also asking for meaningful access in Pennsylvania so that our poll watchers can see what is actually happening. We don't know why these Democrat operatives in these election locations are blocking us from watching that. Pennsylvania follows Arizona. The president is also going to win Pennsylvania, and when that occurs, he will be, in fact, reelected.
So Mayor Giuliani today,
Arizona, and then Pennsylvania, and then the president's reelected.
All right, that was Tim Murtaugh again last night on Special Report with Brett Baer. Interesting exchange, very interesting exchange. The president, to be clear, is going to ask for a recount in Wisconsin, which is at 1% or less the difference. He's going to file a lawsuit in Michigan over what's happening there. I told you just a few minutes ago that at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, suddenly like 140 or 130,000 votes showed up boosting Joe Biden immensely. And those ballots, at least in one of those states, were 100% ballots cast for Joe Biden. So we're having all kinds of issues. Pennsylvania also, of course, the president is further ahead in Pennsylvania than these other contested states, and there are all kinds of things happening there. And I want to talk about that and other things with our guest. Tom Fitton is the president of Judicial Watch. He's a good friend, and it's been a long time since we've talked. You see him on television all the time. He has just done an incredible job leading Judicial Watch, the leading voice in trying to get to the truth on all of these scandals this past, almost 4 years of President Trump's service, and then before that, too. Tom, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Sandy, good to be with you. Thank you for the good word.
Yeah, no, like, you know, I mean it. Tom, from your assessment, you know, it can be very discouraging. You know, when I woke up after a nap yesterday, looking at the board saying Biden 264, Trump 214, that's very discouraging for people. How do you see this? Do you think the president can actually pull this out? Is the deck so stacked it's an impossible job?
Well, I think the longer time goes on and the more illicit counting that goes on, the less likely he'll be successful, at least in this initial round of, being certified more or less as the new president. You know, my concern is, go back to the beginning, which is that the election day was on Tuesday. It wasn't yesterday. It's not today. And there's nothing normal about what's going on. It's an indication of, in my view, it's evidence of fraud when you have voting going on or counting going on past the election day deadline. And I don't mean deadline in the sense, oh, well, there's a political deadline. I mean statutorily, and your listeners can look this up. It's 3 U.S.C. Section 1 of the Federal Code, the U.S. Code, and it says, and I'm paraphrasing, you got to pick your electors on Tuesday. So the counting really shouldn't have happened that's going on. The president was leading and should have been certified as the victor on Tuesday, and it didn't happen. And the question is, will the courts be brave enough to walk it back? And if they're not, will Congress be brave enough to assert the rule of law again? Because Congress, yeah, in the end, resolves any disputes.
You know, one of the things, Tom, that really eats at me, I saw it happening. I knew it when it was happening that it was happening, and I called it out when it was happening. It didn't do any good, and that was this. President Trump was the only person, the only spokesperson, certainly for the Republican Party, for conservatives, who warned us over and over and over and over again that this early voting, this all of these extraordinary measures, you know, mailing ballots indiscriminately, was dangerous to our voting system, would create chaos. And yet, Tom, to my knowledge, not a single Republican leader, including Mitch McConnell or the others, and I could, maybe if I'm wrong, correct me, stood up and said the same thing or tried to do anything about it.
Well, they were nervous because the Republicans were nervous that there was a whole area of voting, namely mail-in voting, that they wouldn't be participating in, and they thought they would lose as a result. So they probably generally agreed with the opportunities for chaos and fraud with mass mail-in ballot schemes that have been pushed forward. But on the other hand, they didn't want to cede the ground to the other side in terms of participation. And I don't say that to excuse what went on. I say it as a way of explaining what I think was their thinking. You know, we were calling attention to this. I testified to Congress. I said, this is going to be chaos. And back in April, and we knew what was coming. There's nothing surprising about what's happened.
They
talked about the red mirage of President Trump winning on Election Day, and then the votes coming in later, too late, in my view, to knock him out. And that's exactly what happened. Now,
yeah,
it may not happen, you know, who knows, maybe the numbers will just solidify in a way that he wins in Arizona, he wins in Pennsylvania, he retains his lead in Georgia, and he's the next president. But as you point out, the signs aren't good that any of that's going to happen all of that's going to happen in those three places.
Well, except that, would you not agree, and I know you do, I just don't want people to give up yet. And I'm calling for people to come out and join these rallies in various states, in Michigan and in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, to come out and let their voices be heard and just put the left on notice that we are watching. This is not going to go down easily, because it will get worse if we don't do that.
Right, and there are legal challenges that can be brought. I'm not quite confident that the legal challenges are being
brought. Tom, we lost you.
I don't believe the legal challenges they've brought thus far will solve the issue. But beyond that, in the end, it's a political question resolved by Congress. If there are disputes about the outcomes in elections, the electors can be challenged in Congress, and that's a political fight. So your call to activism is well-founded.
Yep. There are two themes that I hear the left striking. This is not surprising to us either. But I think people need to understand that their thoughts are being manipulated. And that is, you count all votes. You have to count. The president doesn't want to count all votes. He wants to stop the counting. We have to count all the votes. It's the right of the people. And the second is, there's no evidence of voter fraud. What evidence of voter fraud do you have? There's no evidence of voter fraud. These are the two themes I keep hearing. I'd love for you to respond to those if you could.
Well, when you have, for instance, Philadelphia stop counting for no good reason, that's evidence of voter fraud. There's no good reason to do it other than maybe to put your thumb on the scales. When you have a system set up that virtually allows voting fraud and in an undetectable way, you should presume voting fraud. This is not a legal question. This is a political question. This is, do the American people have confidence in the outcome of the election? And is that confidence undermined or increased as a result of the way the elections have been run? Anyone who tells you it's been increased as a result of the elections have been run, obviously has a problem.
Hey, Tom, we lost you again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Okay. Anyone who thinks, that's where you were.
Yeah, anyone who thinks that the confidence in the election is high hasn't really been talking to half the country about it. And the evidence is there. And how do you know the evidence is there? Because people don't trust the elections. I mean, I know it's circular, but that's the standard isn't a legal standard.
Well, it's also
if you got a bank that has no security guard, no checks, and cash is coming in and out, and no one knows what's going on, are you going to go into that bank? No. And you can presume something bad's happening.
Absolutely. There's just common sense. With the nature of how they're handling this, common sense, the fact that they are covering up the windows in the count center in Michigan so that people can't see in, the fact that they're making people who are supposed to be observing and making sure that things are done properly, that they are putting a cardboard so that they can't see or that they have to stand back 6 feet, common sense tells you that's because something is happening that shouldn't be happening. And so, but that's the themes we're going to be hearing. Pennsylvania is your home state, isn't it, Tom?
No, I'm originally from New York.
Oh, how could I
Although
make that?
Although I've been in D.C. so long, I can't even say New York's my home state. It's sad to say.
Nevertheless, you know a lot about Pennsylvania. And we have actually not talked too much about what's going on there. So give people an idea from your perspective of what's happening in Pennsylvania. The president is actually further ahead in Pennsylvania than he is in these other states. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, the question is, are the so-called votes that have yet to be counted going to change the outcome of the election that was, in my view, should have been certified on Tuesday, which is that he won? And then secondly, there's a second category of votes that are supposed to be segregated, but nevertheless are allegedly to be counted, ballots that arrive after Election Day, which in my view is an abomination under the law, ballots that may or may not be postmarked prior to Election Day, and the signature requirements that help ensure that they're actually valid are also been thrown aside. So there are all these pathways for fraud in Pennsylvania, not pathways for victory for Joe Biden in any legitimate sense.
But my understanding is from all that I'm reading this morning that the Supreme Court left open, they said that they could not resolve the issue of what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court had put in place, which was throwing out the signature verification and also allowing ballots to arrive 3 days after the election. But they said that they would, because they didn't have the time. So they said to set those votes that came in late aside, and if it came back to them, they would adjudicate more deeply. Those are my words. My understanding is that's happening. What do you think the chances are of Pennsylvania not being able to count all those ballots past Tuesday?
If it changes the outcome of the election, the chances are less likely. If there's no change, the Supreme Court will say, you know, no harm, no foul. So it depends. It depends. If the numbers are significant enough that the outcome of the election could change, the court's going to have to resolve it. And I suspect the majority of the court's going to be quite skeptical of allowing ballots to be counted that arrive after Election Day.
Yeah. Well, so we have today now the whole situation with Nevada, which is, this is my prediction, Tom. Since Joe Biden, they've given him Phoenix, or Arizona, when they shouldn't have, but that puts him at 264. So if he wins Nevada, he will declare himself the victor, because that'll put him at, that'll give him enough votes to reach the threshold. So Nevada doesn't have to turn in their votes for several days, as I understand it, but I predict they're going to do that just so that Joe Biden can declare victory. And I'd like to know what you think about that.
Well, I mean, that's a fair conclusion. I mean, why should we presume good faith by these officials that have delayed the adjudication of their elections past the statutory deadline? We're in undiscovered country in this regard. It's never happened before in American history, as best I can tell. I haven't examined what went on around the Civil War, but I have a feeling we even had a better system in place while we were voting during a Civil War.
Yeah.
There's nothing normal about what's going on, Sandy, and so you're right to be skeptical of how the process is proceeding, even if they're pretending to follow the rules that they made up as they're going along.
Okay, well, we have just a few minutes left, but I want to ask you this, because some people are looking for the sunshine, and I'm not against looking for sunshine, but the sunshine is that Republicans picked up seats in the House, so they're going to be stronger. They didn't win the House, but they picked up seats. The other part of the sunshine is that the Republicans have, at least we think, maintained control of the Senate, and so there won't be a change in the filibuster in the Senate allowing any kind of legislation to pass unfettered, unchecked. There won't be the addition of Hawaii and Puerto Rico, so that we'd have, you know, four more senators and a permanent majority. There won't be this wash of packing the court. So with Joe Biden, if he it is declared the winner, there won't be that much difference, right, Tom? That's what they tell us.
Yeah, I think, you know, no matter how the election is resolved ultimately by January, either president's going to have a challenge, in the sense the country is strongly divided and deeply divided. And certainly if there's a President Biden, he's not coming in with a 60-40 landslide with two houses of Congress behind him. So any changes he wants to make that conservatives would object to are going to be difficult for him to make. Obviously, there are regulatory changes he may be able to make under the law. But court packing, adding states, like adding Washington, D.C., making it a state and a pure power grab, that isn't going to happen no matter what happens at the presidential level.
Yeah, but what I think about is a Biden Justice Department. I think about what's happened to our police and what a gut punch this will be for, you know, they're retiring in droves and leaving the departments. And now we'll have a Justice Department that we will not recognize. And that really worries me, Tom. My point is it'll make a huge difference. It's like nothing. It isn't. It's not what people are saying it's going to be. It's going to be very dangerous. And, of course, it'll be probably Kamala Harris who'll be leading all of that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, there's going to be a new set of challenges. They're not going to be, they're not going to be small. But, you know, that's what we do. I mean, those of us concerned about public policy and those citizens out there, there's always challenges. You know, I don't know about you, Sandy. I wasn't all that impressed by the Trump Justice Department. They were good on a lot of issues, terrible on others, AWOL on others, more importantly.
Yes, well,
so from our perspective, things aren't changing as much as they might for others.
Okay.
I don't want to say things are going to be great, but let's recognize the country will proceed and the fights will change in their nature, and maybe the severity, but the status quo will continue in surprising ways.
Okay, Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch. Tom, great to have you. Thanks for joining me. Sandy Rios in the Morning, AFR Talk.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
Untreated depression can destroy your marriage and your life. Next time on Focus on the Family, one couple describes how God intervened to heal past abuse and emotional stagnation in their relationship, giving new hope for their family. It's a powerful story of reconciliation and restoration next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. What is the proper role of government? Romans chapter 13 outlines government's function, and it is basically this: to restrain or to punish wickedness and to reward righteousness. Government was never intended to be our savior. Government is our servant. As we focus on our civil occupations and our civic engagement responsibilities, let us never forget that government is not our God. We don't put our trust in it. We put our trust in our Christ. As a result, what we want is a government that stays out of our way and leaves room for our church to do our business of fulfilling the Great Commission.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. It is clear now that voters will not choose our next president, but unelected, unaccountable judges will. This is not how this is supposed to work. The mischief has been created by mail-in voting based on the imaginary threat of COVID infections at polling places. The real motivation is to make it easier for people to cheat. Ballots have gone missing, ballots have been bought and sold, ballots have gotten lost in the mail. It's a situation ripe for fraud, and some political parties want it that way. What we must do is go back to in-person voting using photo ID, which drastically reduces the opportunity for fraud. If we care about election integrity, let's go back to the way we have done it from the beginning of this country. Everybody shows up to vote in person on the same day. It's the American way.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. While the U.S. presidential election has yet to be decided, vote dumps in contested states involving large numbers of ballots produced long after the polls closed, with every single one cast for Joe Biden, suggests that a winner may be fraudulently declared in the near future. Obviously, what is at stake is much more than the American people's waning confidence in their election processes. If Vice President Biden wins under these circumstances, it seems most unlikely that his presidency will be considered legitimate by the roughly half of the electorate that voted in good faith for his opponent, and subsequent efforts by him or his running mate to impose a platform promising radical socialist economic, judicial, and national security changes that was broadly rejected by so many Americans will precipitate, at best, paralysis, and at worst, terrible national trauma. God help us. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
After a long night of counting, it's clear that we're winning enough states to reach 270 electoral votes needed to win the presidency. I'm not here to declare that we've won. But I am here to report when the count is finished, we believe we will be the winners.
Yeah, so there you go. That's the two men, and that's how they express what's happening. It really defies logic, doesn't it? When you think about President Trump and all those rallies, and many of you have gone out to see him, and the enthusiasm and the information about Joe Biden and his connection to China, and Kamala Harris, so unlikable, and who came in last when she was actually running for president, who stands silently beside him, but who will probably be his heir apparent, will take her husband, what, said just a week ago, that he was going to be the husband of the president of the United States. And that's probably true. And so it goes into your mind and you say, how can this be? Well, it can be because people have plotted and planned it and they've executed something amazing. And we're always shocked when they do this. So let me just clarify something, because I know Tom really well. Tom sounded like he was okay with the results, and I know that's not true. I actually know that he is not ready to concede. He's far from it. He's all about fighting this. So I just wanted to clarify that, because he was just pondering what I had asked him, but he did not say that. And I want you to know, if anybody's strong about fighting back and the fact that he thinks that President Trump won, it's Tom. So Tom Fitton. All right, so let me just tell you a couple of things. Because I didn't mention these states. The president has the lead in Pennsylvania, a good lead, actually, in Georgia, North Carolina, and Alaska. Now, Nevada is, I don't know, they're going to be announcing, I think, this morning, and I'm telling you, I think that's all orchestrated, too, to help Joe Biden at least go out and claim that he's won, because Arizona's in his column and Michigan is in his column, and those are all going to be challenged, because we don't think that it was fair, and that's why people are going out to all of these rallies, which I'll repeat in just a second. In Fulton County, Georgia, responds to the claim of poll observers. They were told to leave. Poll observers in Georgia in Fulton County were told to leave. They were told that they were going to stop counting for the night, but what happened, the allegation is that the counters went back in and the unsuspecting poll watchers left because they were told that they were going to resume counting the next morning. So, all right, I would love to take a couple of calls. I know we're late in the show, but perhaps you saw something or heard something that you want to share with us or have a story to tell, and I'd love for you to be able to tell it. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Probably general thoughts like, this isn't good, or I wish President Trump would win. Not a general thought, but if you have something specific to say or to report, I would love to hear that. 888-589-8840. Let me just tell you that people are gathering in Philadelphia today at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's coming up here. And that will be at the Philadelphia Convention Center. If you know people close by or near there that want to go and join these Freedom Work rallies, do it. And then also in Detroit at 9 o'clock, and I believe they're central, at the TCF Center, where all the voting is taking place, where they're, covering the windows so people can't see what's happening. People are already out there, and they would love to have you join them. And then at Phoenix City Hall, 9 o'clock, that's 3 hours from now, people will be at Phoenix City Hall to do the same thing. And on Friday in Phoenix, there's a Protect the Vote rally, and that will be at 10 o'clock Friday morning. That's 10 o'clock local. Maricopa County Tabulation and Election Center. Maricopa County Tabulation and Election Center. We'll do our best to put this on our Facebook page. I'll have Adam do that when we finish so that you can refer to that and share it with your friends. That's assuming that Facebook will actually let you do that. I saw one posting about a rally that was taken down by Facebook this morning. And so this is the world in which we live. It's infuriating. And one other little story here. I think this was, I'm not sure which state. It might be Pennsylvania, because I know that Christian, our buddy Christian, is filing lawsuits here because people that voted in this particular precinct were handed Sharpie pens to do their balloting. And then after they had voted, their ballots were rejected because they used Sharpie pens. So people are upset about that, and a lawsuit is being filed. All right, I want to hear what you have to say in the few minutes that we have left. Let's go to Iowa and talk to Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Yeah. What's your story there, Jeff?
Iowa.
Yes.
Well, here's my story. I think what Trump has done. It's been awesome, and I just don't believe in this. As far as I'm concerned, we ought to have a new election. And that's how I feel. We should, let's vote over again. Because they're still in it. They're still in this country, a great country, and this is not right. That's me, and I love you, Sandy, and I love listening to you every day.
Thank you, Jeff. I you know, I'm all in favor, except I don't know how you do that. You constitutionally, there's just, I just don't know. I guess we have to do the hard work of fighting right now and praying. Listen, I woke up this morning at, 4 o'clock, and I was praying again, Lord, please, please, please. President Trump can still win this, and I'm praying for that. I am. And I'm praying that God continue to intercede. Don't think that he's not absent. He's he knows everything that's happening here. He's not doing what I expected, because I expected a resounding victory and none of these problems, but that hasn't happened. But that doesn't mean God is not listening. And so we need to pray. And then, of course, even when you pray for that, you have to, like Jesus himself said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that's always our theme. We pray, and he's asked us to pray. He's told us to pray in Jesus' name and ask. And he loves it, like a loving father. He does love us. He cares. And when he can say yes, he does. But sometimes he can't. Jeff, I thank you for your call. Thanks for that. Let's go to Kevin in Kentucky. Good morning, Kevin.
Hello.
Hello. So what's going on in Kentucky?
It's not necessarily in Kentucky. It was something I've been pondering, and I talked to some other people about, is the number of people that usually just go ahead and when they fill out their forms, they either fill out, you know, Republican straight down the ticket or Democrat straight down the ticket. I was just saying that the number of governors that were Republican that got into office and in their states, then when everything's all said and done, that the number of people that skewed toward Biden seems a little off to me.
So you're saying if people voted straight ticket because of the governor's race outcomes, you think that Trump should have won those straight tickets? Is that what you're saying? I'm a little unclear, Kevin.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, you know, how they have, you can either vote straight on,
right,
on the ticket.
Yes.
You can either vote Republican, Democrat, or Independent.
Yes, right. So, but your point is,
everybody.
Yeah.
Is there governors that were Republican that got elected in those states, but somehow the states got skewed toward
I see. Okay,
Biden,
so that is what you're
presidency.
Saying. Yeah, I don't know. Not every state can vote straight ticket. That's the only caution about making that assessment. But okay. everything's suspect, isn't it? I mean, everything is suspicious to us. And this is not the way life is supposed to be. Thanks a lot, Kevin. You know, I realized years ago when I was on radio and I started really actually looking at the way the world worked and learning about politics and government systems and all of that. And everything, and I said a long time ago that when honesty and integrity break down, every single thing we do will break down, whether it's buying something at a store, whether it's going into a courtroom, whether it's just dealings, personal dealings. Once we lose our honesty, that personal governing, personal thing in your whole heart and mind that keeps you operating in good faith with people, whether it's in your job or your personal life, everything will break down. And it has. It has, because we just have lost our character and our morality. So, but I'm not giving up because I believe God could bring revival. Courtney in West Virginia. Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Sandy. I want to comment on what Kevin said, actually. I'm a homeschool mom, so on election day, I took my kids out and we did tally marks. Every Republican sign we saw, whether it be local or federal, we gave Trump a tally mark. If it was a Democrat sign, we gave credit to Biden. I think if you were brave enough to put that sign out, you probably would lean toward that party. So I kind of see what he's saying. So when we got home, we did the math, and our county carried exactly the percentage that we had tallied up for Trump with my kids.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's saying if you vote for a Democrat governor, your state would probably lean heavily Democratically or vice versa for Republican. But why I really called in was yesterday I was very depressed, very down. You've lifted me up. I think it's going to break for Trump eventually, but it's going to be a God thing. If he had won on a landslide Tuesday, I think we would have thought we put him there. God's going to choose his man. He's going to make something happen that's so big we couldn't have planned it, and then he's going to be successful.
Well, I hope you're right, Courtney. I mean, you very well could be right. We just don't know. But I'm going to let you go, and then I want to say something that I hope you'll still listen to. This is important, more important than the election, because it has to do with your faith in God, all of you. And I have to say, I have to declare to all of you that our faith in God should never depend on the outcome of a circumstance. I have seen too many people who prayed to God for some miracle. God did not deliver. They lost their faith completely. Let me challenge you to go deeper in your faith. We trust God no matter what the outcome is of anything. And how can I say that? Because who God is so transcends our personal problems, our personal dilemma as a country, our inconveniences. God is God, righteous and holy and omnipotent and omniscient. He's all of those things, the creator, the foundations of the world, regardless of our personal circumstances. And so we trust him because he is truth and because we have, there's a much bigger thing always going on with God than our personal circumstances. Although I know that God often hears the prayers of his people and intervenes personally and helps us. And we pray for that. But we, please, do not pin your trust in him on the outcome of your prayers. Don't do that, because remember that Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Yeah, I mean, what if the disciples prayed to be spared and they were all martyred? No, they were willingly. They willingly endured hardship and even death. But because they knew the truth, they had been with the Lord Jesus, they knew he was real, they knew there was a resurrection, and they served him to the end faithfully, not based on their circumstance, but based on what was true. And so please do not let your faith revolve around whether your prayer is answered. I struggled with that for many years because I had been so hurt by the disappointment of some of my personal circumstances and God not delivering. But I've worked through it. It took me decades, I have to say. I understand now much better. I'm still seeing through a glass darkly, but someday face to face. And God can explain to me then why things did not happen the way I had prayed so fervently for. So please do not base your hope on the outcome of this election or your trust in God. But nevertheless, meanwhile, back at the ranch, I'm praying. You better believe it. And I'm trusting God for a good outcome. So there you go. All right, let's go to Stacy in Texas quickly. Stacy, if you can.
Yes, good morning. I was just trying to remind people that we do have checks and balances in this country, and the Republicans did retain control of the Senate. They picked up 4 seats in the House, and that is going to be the wall that we need to keep these crazy people from changing our country the way that it is. I know it's not a big wall, but it's big enough. And I do not want Biden to be our president. Absolutely not. But at least a sliver of hope of recognizing that we do have a way to prevent these people from
Stacey,
messing up.
I'm better. I can hear that better next week. But I hear what you're saying. But thank you. Thank you for that perspective. Charles in Tennessee, very quickly, your comment.
Cindy, I think it's strange the numbers of people that turned out to vote, particularly in inner cities. Some of the numbers seem to be 90% or greater.
Yeah, greater in Wisconsin, greater than 100%.
Well, in Tennessee, we had 43.8% turnout.
43.8, that seems low. Yeah, so in Wisconsin, in some of those districts, they had over 100% of the voters registered voted in their elections. So you're right, and that's why I'm not giving up, and I don't want to hear how good things are yet, okay, or how grateful we should be. Not yet. I'm not there yet. I'm praying that President Trump will pull this out. Sandy Rios in the morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.